Welcome to the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Football, rankings, debates, dad stuff, with your host, Justin Williams and Matt Renshaw.
And welcome, everyone, to this edition of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. I am your host, Justin Williams, and with me, as always, my good friend, Matt Renshaw. Matt, how are you today?
Dude, we took a week off. I'm refreshed.
Yes, I'm ready to do this. We did. I was in Las Vegas, Nevada.
You go to a game?
Nope.
You did. I wondered if you would go.
Oh, saw plenty of stuff though. So that was fun. But yeah. Before we talk about the stuff that I saw and your lame life here in the Midwest, we should remind everybody that we are brought to you by DynastyTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And Matt, we have plenty to talk about. I actually had to narrow down the news and notes section of our
show. There's so much. I looked at it, I was like, oh my goodness, there's so much.
Yep, there's a lot.
And we're not playing catch up from 2 weeks ago. Like, this is all.
No, this is all just
relevant
stuff. And then we're going to check in on our hot takes. And boy, oh boy, Matt.
Woof.
I hope you're ready for a beating. Because you're going to get one.
I'm not going to get a beating. No.
Mm-hmm.
No. Mm-hmm. I don't think so.
Matt, you know, all week last week, while I'm in Vegas, just sipping martinis, just having a good time.
Three martinis?
I just never felt full the entire week. Never felt full. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't enjoy myself because I kept thinking, man, I wonder what the Renshaw family story would have been this week. So I have high expectations for this story. This is 2 weeks in the making. And I know you're not going to disappoint me. This is going to be the best Renshaw family story this podcast has ever heard. And I'm ready. Go.
It was just normal 2 weeks. I'm sorry, I'm disappointed. There wasn't anything that stood out. We took the kids to my middle daughter is doing a class at the YMCA, and it's a tumble and splash class. So they do like gymnastics.
The tumble.
They do gymnastics first.
Yeah.
And then she loves it. That's what she wanted to do, gymnastics. And we're like, okay, well, there's not like a gymnastics center. Mm-hmm. But the YMCA has this tumble and splash. So it's like an hour and a half long. They do 45 minutes of gymnastic stuff. And then they do 45 minutes of go play in the pool. So we started that.
Would you rather tumble or splash? Which would be your preference? You a tumbler or a splash?
I'd love to splash.
Yeah?
Yeah. I'm sure there's a different meaning that you're going for here.
No.
No, this is genuine. I don't want to do gymnastics.
No,
I can't touch my toes. I'm not flexible.
Oh, that's true. We've had that conversation. Don't bring that
one
up.
I can swim.
Yeah. You can swim. Can't touch your toes, but you can swim.
That's right.
My fat ass can touch my toes and swim.
It's so weird. You can ask anybody. I've had bad hamstrings for years. I pulled a hamstring sitting on a bench at a bar once. Yeah, I went to sit down and my hamstring tightened up on me. That's how degenerate my hamstrings are.
Degenerate.
They're degenerate.
Oh, man. So the tumble and splash. You got anything else? Splash.
Yeah. No, nothing big. We're moving in. We're doing a project tonight still at the house. We're still unpacking. Feel like we've been unpacking forever.
Mm-hmm.
The found this out. Apparently the boy just falls off stuff daily. Like, climbs up stuff, doesn't listen. I told you he got stuck between, like, horizontally on the table and between a chair two, 3 weeks ago.
Right.
Yeah. He's falling off the couch two or three times. I freak out. I'm like, what are we doing? What? And my wife's like, no, that's, yeah. Like, he does that. That's what he does.
Oh. I'm like, yeah, I'm 33. I still do that. I just fall off of things.
Yeah. Well, he climbs and then doesn't realize he doesn't have a good center balance because he's got a big old head. And
right.
Yeah. And our oldest is doing school and nothing crazy going on at school.
Hmm.
Typical kindergartner stuff. So we did have conferences.
Oh.
And we met with the teacher and she's a firstborn. So she, I mean, I don't know. You're a firstborn. When you go through school, you want to be perfect and everything. And so she started to spell words in the teacher.
No.
I didn't imagine that as you, but the teacher was like, so we're going to start spelling words. And she's like, and I want to warn you, kids spell words wrong. Like, but you as parents, you're going to go, oh no, this is how you spell it. Let her fail. Let her fail when she spells stuff. Don't correct her because she needs to learn sounds and different things and letter combinations. I'm like, okay. So it's been really hard because she's like, she's writing like pumpkin and stuff and it's like four letters. And what we were told was like, if the letters are in the word, good job. Those letters are in pumpkin. Like build her up, but don't correct her.
See, my oldest, whenever he spelled something wrong, we locked him in the closet.
See, and that's what I would normally do. Yeah. Like, how dare you forget the silent E at the end of pumpkin? Right. And
wait, but yeah. No.
So we've been doing that and she's actually been getting really bad, really good. I mean, getting better at spelling with that. So we've been doing that. I don't know if that's good practice or not. I don't teach elementary kids, but we've seen an improvement with her spelling.
Well, that's good.
Yeah.
That's good. And she's what?
So tell 16, us about Vegas. 17? She's going to graduate in a few months.
Well, good for her. Pumpkin's a hard one. That's a tough one.
Yes. It was like PM PKN.
Not bad.
No, I was like
if somebody like texts that to you, you would know that says pumpkin.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. And syllable or vowels or
like if you worked at a Starbucks, that's probably what you'd see on a receipt for pumpkin spice.
Yeah. That's your drink of choice, isn't it?
No, I can't do pumpkin.
Pumpkin latte?
No, haven't done it. I'll try it one day. Well, that's exciting.
Now it's Vegas. Yeah. No one wants to hear about PM PKN.
Well, I went to Vegas for a work thing, for the company that I work for. And I took the wife and we had a great time. We did a lot of things. We did, we went to the observation deck on the Eiffel Tower replica thing on the strip.
Yeah.
That was cool. I'm afraid of heights. So it wasn't
that was fun.
Yeah. That wasn't my favorite thing.
Did you go up in the stratosphere?
I did not. I won't go near the stratosphere.
See, so I went when, I mean, we've been together, but I went one time with my wife. Wasn't my wife at the time, but we went up to the stratosphere, but we didn't go to the top. There's like a bar, three floors from the top. And I was okay with that because I hate heights too. I'm not a big fan, but that wasn't too bad. It was like a spinning top. So you could see out to the strip and
it's pretty cool. It's just, there's not a thrill for me. It's more like just an uncomfortable feeling. And I like having control of things. I don't like being helpless. And when I'm really high up like that, I'm just so helpless. There's nothing that you can do.
Yeah. Yeah. You're going to fall.
Yeah, exactly. Just so like airplanes. Like, I don't mind flying, but I hate landing. Landing is the worst part of flying.
Really?
Oh, it's terrible.
I thought taking off was.
No, takeoff's nothing. You got to get that fast to get up there. But I always feel like I need to tell the pilot, you're going too fast. You need to slow down.
Hit the brakes.
No, so we did the observation deck of the Eiffel Tower. We did Cirque du Soleil, which was incredible.
I thought you were going to say interesting.
Oh, it was so incredible. And not a lick of English was spoken. And we loved it.
Do those people, can they touch their toes?
Probably they could touch a lot of things. Like they bend all over into different positions and there was water involved and it was crazy. It was just absolutely insane. The stage is constantly changing. So cool.
You just have to pay extra for the water.
Well, we sat dead center, three rows back.
Yeah.
So like, there's like, you got everything there.
So you're in the splash zone.
Oh, we were in the splash zone, baby. Splash zone. So we did that. I'm trying to think what else we did. Of course, I'm drawing a blank now.
Did you make any money?
We pretty much ate for free for 5 days.
Nice. And like
we just kept winning.
Yeah.
We did like my wife is not a follower of sports at all. And we placed like $100 bet every night. Well, she did on just a random team that she picked.
Nice.
And
spreads or just money lines?
Just, well, a couple of them were spreads. A couple of them were so close, like basketball games. She just took the we just said money line, but yeah. she won like 4 out of 5. And then she played roulette. I played a lot of blackjack and we just could not be stopped.
Nice. That's how they get you.
I couldn't believe they, I mean, we gambled every day and we ended up doing just fine. And I had Fruity Pebble, Fruity Pebble French toast.
Was it good?
It was extremely sweet.
Yeah.
You don't put syrup on it. It's like this pink
you don't need
chocolate kind of deal.
Yeah.
Oh, it's so sweet. 10 years ago, would have loved it.
You hated it?
I loved it. It tasted great, but I was just like completely fucking worthless the rest of the day.
food coma from the Fruity Pebbles.
Yeah. But yeah, no, it was a great time. Vegas is still cool. Had a little bit of fatigue at the end of it. If you're in Nevada, reach out to us because I cannot understand. Your homeless problem is out of control. Out of control. It was so sad.
I haven't been there in years.
Oh, the homeless are running amok. They're all over the place. It's just like Colorado. If you go to Colorado, that's a really bad homeless problem too. Sad to see. But yeah. Anyways. What do you think, Matt?
You always do that, man. You do that every story you tell.
I know. I always end it with a sad note. Kill the mood. Yeah. Oh, had a great time. Yeah. But just a reminder, people are homeless.
Goodness. And now let's talk football.
Yeah. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Next time, start with that.
Yeah. Well, they, you know, one thing I wanted to ask you, because you know about this, they have like those guys that stand on the sidewalks and they hand out those business cards that are like of the naked women.
They slap them and.
Yeah. Like it says like there's like, do you know they have websites now?
No. I didn't. I'd imagine it's 2021.
Well, it's so crazy because it's just like these pictures of these naked girls, you know, with little stars over their nips. And then there's like a website that you can go to, I guess, learn more.
Schedule them.
Book them.
That's what I imagine it's for.
I don't know why that blew me away, but it just blew me away.
Just they also have me. They have phone numbers, Justin, and you can dial them.
I know you can like call the I don't know if they're pimps now. I don't want to get like
hotline
killed. Yeah, you call the number, and then I imagine
them on their cell phone.
I imagine things get set up from there. But yeah, I didn't know I could just go to like a website and just be like, you know, book somebody.
Pay them with your Venmo. And
I didn't even think about the whole Venmo part of it. Do you guys accept checks?
Don't cash it until Tuesday, though.
I have a really good feeling about the Blazers game tonight. Can you wait until tomorrow?
Oh.
All right. See, there's a better note. Ending with hookers is always the best idea. So,
speaking of Blazers,
news and notes, Matthew. I want to start off with the Chiefs coach, Andy Reid. He said that Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a pretty good chance to play in week 11 against the Cowboys. Reid also noted that the odds of his returning have increased compared to last week. It's no guarantee, obviously, that CEH is available to play, but at least he's trending in the right direction. In his absence, Darrell Williams has arguably played better than CEH, creating the possibility that the two split the backfield or Williams earns the bulk of the work outright. Williams most recently turned 20 touches into 144 yards and a touchdown in the Chiefs' Week 10 stomping of the Raiders. Matt, according to DynastyTradeCalculator.com,
stop guessing. Start calculating.
Clyde Edwards-Helaire has a trade value of 17.6. What do you think Darrell Williams' value is, according to the Calculadora?
Probably like a 4.6.
Less.
Less than 4.6. Wow. I don't know. 2.4. What do you want me to say?
More. I'll stop. It's a 3.
Okay. So it's like a late second.
Yeah.
Ish. Yeah. Contender would pay a second.
Is the price on DiceTradeCalculator.com?
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
Wrong, in your opinion?
I think it's cheap. Especially if he keeps the job I would pay as a contending team a second to have a guy that's going to contribute on a very high octane offense. They seem to have figured it out, but I guess everybody figures it out against the Raiders. If I've got CEH, I would absolutely go get Williams because you don't know how it's going to shake out. It's never bad to invest in the running backs that Andy Reid coaches.
But would you sell him for a second, a late second though? Because I don't think I would sell Williams for that.
If you're a bad team, like you're not going to make the playoffs, you wouldn't sell for a second?
I don't think so. No, I think there's a real opportunity here for Williams. I think Williams is just absolutely shown out. And I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong. Doesn't Clyde Edwards-Helaire have kind of a injury history here? I mean, or am I just thinking, is just recency bias?
I think he just had a disappointing rookie year and he got hurt this year. I mean everyone's backs, like, oh, we should take Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I'd sell him for a late second. That seems too cheap for me. You're not going to get a first out of him, but.
No, I would sell him for a second if I had him. If I was a bad team, like if I was in the mix, there's no reason I'd sell him.
Moving on to overrated running backs. The New York Daily News, Pat Leonard reports that Saquon Barkley is trending well towards returning in week 11.
Are you souring on him? What are you?
I'm souring overrated? A little bit. I'm souring a little bit. I got an offer to trade. We'll talk about it.
Oh,
Barkley reportedly looked good in practice Monday and was spotted cutting with ease. If he returns, it will be his first game since week 5. A fully healthy Barkley is a top 5 fantasy back, according to rotoworld.com.
Stop calling us RotoWorld. Now we're NBC Edge.
That was perfect. Well done. However, we'll have to wait to see if his reps will be limited in the return before making any sweeping statements. Matt, I believe we touched on this before. Barkley, in your opinion, is a stardom if he's active type of talent, correct?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially in an offense that doesn't have many of them.
I'm with you there. So I was offered a trade for Barkley, and I'm not going to bother to pull it up. I'm not going to spend too much time on it. Dynasty League, very thin at running back.
You're very thin, or?
I'm very thin at running back. Okay. A team that is clearly rebuilding for the future offered me a late first, a very early second, and then a first next year, which is in all likelihood early to mid. So you got two first round picks there spread over two drafts and a second round pick. Oh, and Josh Gordon, excuse me, for Saquon Barkley. Right. I just find it. Did I make the right choice?
Yes.
Yeah, I think so too.
You did.
Josh and Gordon. That's from a guy that's I think he's overrated right now. But at that
point, what would you sell him for?
I had a counter set up and I never submitted it because the guy has multiple first round picks. And so I was gonna get a top 3 first round pick, I do believe, for this season. I wanted his second for this season. I wanted MVS because I also have Rodgers in this league. Yeah, just to kind of double dip there every now and then. And then I wanted another first and another second for next year. And I literally sat there and like, he wouldn't have, I don't think he would have accepted, but I didn't.
No, I know who you're talking about. He wouldn't have accepted.
Yeah, I didn't even want to send it. So for 2 first round picks, 2 seconds and MVS, I wouldn't sell Barkley, apparently.
Wow. Yeah. Yeah, but it's hard with picks. I think, if you're just putting a pick value on him, if you're I'm assuming you're a rebuilding-ish team.
Middle of the road. I'm not ready to just go full blown.
So I think it would be more appealing if I was in your shoes to get players and picks and not players like Josh Gordon, but like legitimate guys that you could plug into your lineup and then picks that would possibly replace the guy later.
Had I had more depth at running back, I think I would consider it. Really? But the thing is, even if Saquon Barkley is overrated and has lost a step here, he's still better than everything else I got in my roster by far.
Like Antonio Gibson in a first would probably get Barkley.
I think for most people, but I wouldn't do it.
No.
I'd rather just see what Barkley is. Like Javonte Williams is my running back too.
Yeah, but you're...
So like that, put that into perspective. Like, do I really want to make Javonte Williams my running back one from here on out? No. But Javonte Williams is my running back too. I like. There's a chance there. If Barkley goes back to his old self. We've wasted way more time than we wanted to.
Let's waste more time on this next guy.
Odell Beckham Jr. caught 2 of 3 targets for 18 yards in the Rams' Week 10 loss to the 49ers. Beckham got the start for the Rams in his debut with the team after signing 4 days ago, and he caught a 5-yard pass on the first play of the game. Later on the drive, Matthew Stafford tried to hit OBJ on a deep shot, but it was a stupid
double
decision.
Double covered, dummy. Yeah.
Double covered, picked off. Beckham ended up playing just 13 snaps total on the night and clearly just did not know the playbook. He now gets the Rams bye to study up and should have a much bigger role the rest of the way in the absence of Robert Woods. Man, I'm curious. Odell Beckham Jr. moving forward is a wide receiver what?
Dose.
Wide receiver dose. Two.
Absolutely. Positively. No doubt about it. High octane offense. Give me OBJ. Didn't learn the playbook. Whatever. Stafford clearly is going to try to target him even when it's stupid. So there's targets there to be had. That offense is going to throw a lot. I trust McVay to get him involved. Yeah.
Let's look into my crystal balls here, Matt. You know how I like to do that. So OBJ absolutely trash with Cleveland. Not doing anything really of note this season. Not really last season either.
Run first offense. We gotta preface that.
What if the Rams offense just starts to completely tank after starting red hot with OBJ on the roster? Wouldn't that be something?
They tanked before OBJ got there, though.
They had this week was the worst week of Matthew Stafford's season by far.
Was it? Because he did his best Carson Wentz impression the week before.
Yes. He had 9 fantasy points this past week.
Oh, you're just talking fantasy points. Okay.
Just fantasy points. Okay. It was his worst game. Yeah. I don't know. I just think it's interesting. It's just interesting. Maybe OBJ is just destined to be that guy that has big weeks.
Type wide receiver.
Yeah.
That he just seems to get worse when he shows up.
Yeah. I don't know. There's just something. I just got my spidey senses are going off.
So, I don't know. I like him. I mean, we traded in a redraft league. I got him from you.
Yeah. That was a while ago.
It was before he signed with the Rams.
Oh, that's right. I forgot I had him. He's been forgettable. What can I say?
That is true. That is a factual statement.
ESPN's Adam Schefter probably reports that Aaron Jones suffered a mild MCL sprain and will miss 1 to 2 weeks. Jones, who suffered the knee injury late in the Packers' Week 10 win over Seattle, will probably avoid the 3-week injury reserve. Jones will miss this week's game against Minnesota and has an outside shot of suiting up for Week 12 against the Rams. Barring a setback, he could be back for Week 14 against Chicago following the Packers' Week 13 bye. A.J. Dillon, meanwhile, will serve as a workhorse back for at least a couple of games. Pro Football Focus grades Dillon, who had 128 total yards and 2 scores against Seattle, as the 6th best rusher in the league this season. He has as much upside as almost any running back in fantasy for as long as Jones is sidelined. Patrick Taylor could be sprinkled into the Green Bay offense while Jones is out. Matt, any comment?
It's sad to see. Is this the passing of the torch from Aaron Jones to A.J. Dillon?
Maybe.
Or is this like a 1-2 combo? Like, who's the – it's like Thunder and Thunder.
Eddie Lacy.
Yeah. Mark Ingram and Marcus Ingram.
Glendale White and Eddie Lacy would have been one hell of a backfield.
There you go.
Tell you that much. Yeah, it's really interesting. You know, Matt, it seems like every year we have at this point in the season, we have guys that just kind of come out of almost nowhere. I mean, A.J. Dillon's not out of nowhere, but we have these guys kind of pop up and totally catapult a team into playoff contention for fantasy teams, I'm saying, or they end up being like league winners. And we're going to talk about another guy here soon. Is there a chance that maybe – possibly A.J. Dillon ends up being one of those kind of guys this year?
He's one of those zero running back team targets that here's his shot. And yeah, he could. I mean, I think when A.J. Green comes – or A.J. Green. Aaron Jones comes back, he's going to eat into the backfield. But I mean, they're paying him a lot of money. I'm always a follow the money kind of guy.
I just, a mild MCL sprain just sounds like it's, we're not going to see him until week 14.
No, you're not going to see him until after the bye. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Jalen Hurts has joined Kyler Murray, Lamar Jackson, and Robert Griffin III as the only quarterbacks with more than 2,000 passing yards, more than 500 rushing yards, and 5 rushing touchdowns in their team's first 10 games.
Woohoo!
Hurts through 10 games has exceeded the expectations of his most ardent backers, like Matthew Renshaw.
I hate the guy. I don't hate the guy.
In the Eagles' Week 10 win over Denver, Hurts threw for 178 yards and 2 touchdowns, tacking on 53 yards on the ground. He's now fantasy's QB3 behind Patrick Mahomes and Josh Allen, and has a decent shot to finish the year as a top-scoring quarterback in fantasy this season. His 547 rushing yards through Week 10 ranks second only to Lamar Jackson, and his 5 rushing touchdowns are tied for the most among QBs. Matt, I just told you, Jalen Hurts is in the history books now. At what point are you going to say, maybe, just maybe, you're a little too harsh on the kid?
Never. Not.
Oh, that's stupid.
Would it shock you if he wasn't a starting quarterback next year?
Yeah. Yeah,
Matt, that would shock you.
That would absolutely shock me. Yeah.
Okay.
I think that would shock most people.
He's not going to be a starter for Philly next year.
That's stupid. That's like your worst take ever.
I've had some pretty bad ones. That's not
the one. Yeah, that's right up there. There's zero chance he's not starting week one.
Oh.
You can't have performances like this.
You can't say 0% chance.
What?
You can't say 0% chance. Do you want to know why you can't say 0% chance? Because the Philadelphia Eagles have 3 first-round picks. And you know who's looking for 3 first-round picks for a quarterback? The Houston Texans. And Deshaun Watson and Philly. And Philly was in the Deshaun Watson sweepstakes. So
if somebody pays something like that to get Jalen Hurts.
No one's paying that to get Hurts.
You're saying somebody's – okay. No, that's stupid. You got a quarterback. They need everything else.
They don't have a quarterback. They have a running back that they put at quarterback to throw the football occasionally. They have Gardner Minshew. He's a better quarterback.
One of the only quarterbacks with more than 2,000 passing yards in their team's first 10 games.
Woohoo.
He's up there. He's up there, man.
If you look, who are those other quarterbacks? RG3, who was out of the league in, 5 years?
Kyler Murray.
Yeah.
Lamar Jackson.
Okay, so 2 guys that are in the league
and
now.
And RG3 had a very nice stint in the league where he was absolutely fantasy relevant.
2 years. He was relevant for 2 years.
Hey, man. That's still relevant.
So Jalen Hurts will be relevant for 2 years. This is
you thought Jalen Hurts was going to be a couple weeks kind of guy.
I thought Jalen Hurts is a better running back, and I still do. The dude doesn't throw the ball well.
Okay. Okay, Matt.
Okay.
Okay. You know, he doesn't have to throw the ball well if he has the legs. You get that, right?
I understand that he's a dual
threat quarterback.
I understand that people think he's a good quarterback because he puts up fantasy points. Jameis Winston was a quote-unquote good quarterback because he put up fantasy points, and then his team cut him. Right. Got rid of him.
Well, that was more of a, there's a lot more to that, but okay.
He was a free agent. They didn't cut him, but they chose not to re-sign him.
Panthers head coach Matt Rhule said Cam Newton will take most of the team's first team practice reps ahead of the team's Week 11 game against Washington. If he's ready to start, great, Rhule said. A day after Newton completed 3 of his 4 attempts of 8 yards and a touchdown, and scored a rushing touchdown in Carolina's decisive win over Arizona. No one saw that coming. PJ Walker will take a backseat to the team's new leader, and Sam Darnold probably won't play another snap as a Panther. Newton's week 11 matchup is undeniably excellent. The pass funnel football team. And their defense has allowed the 8th highest completion rate, 67.3%, and the 7th highest yards per pass attempt, 7.5. Matt, is Cam Newton one of those guys that we talked about? Are we going to look back at Cam Newton? And are we going to say that's a season winner?
Oh, my goodness. He's back in Carolina, and he completed 2 passes and ran for a touchdown from the 1.
Yep.
Stop it.
You can make all the jokes you want.
You're going to call him a league winner?
I don't think I'm going to, I'm not saying that. I don't think that's likely, obviously, but I don't think I'm going to bet against a obviously motivated Cam Newton.
Oh gosh. Every year he's obviously motivated.
That's not true.
Last year, I'm back from an injury. This is the best I felt in my entire career. Sucked. This year, I'm going to beat up this rookie. He was awful last year. And what did he do this year?
I don't think he was a good fit. He was clearly a band-aid for the Patriots.
Gotcha. The Patriots don't know what they're doing with quarterbacks.
I'm just not going to bet against Cam.
And no one signed the guy for 8 weeks because he's so good. They just didn't want him on their team.
Robbie Anderson. What do you think?
What about him? Well, it can't get worse with Darnold.
With Cam Newton, Cam wasn't going to come go anywhere and like be the backup. That wasn't happening.
Okay, but it took him 8 weeks to find someone to take him back.
Because he wasn't going to go anywhere and be the backup. What do you want?
You don't think he could have went to the Jets and been a starter this year? You think he couldn't go to Houston and be a starter this year? He's not that good.
From a betting standpoint, I'm not fading him. That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
I think Cam Newton will – I don't know if he's going to be a fantasy relevant, but he's
– He won't.
Okay. I think he helps that entire offense. Would you disagree with that? You can't disagree with that.
I don't think – He's an upgrade. Is he an upgrade over Darnold?
Yes. Matt, yes.
Is he?
Yes. Stop it. At least he can run.
You don't think he hurts McCaffrey in the red zone?
I think he might hurt McCaffrey, but at least he makes that offense, you know, they can't stack the box against them.
PJ Walker did well. Like, does that get lost in the fold here?
PJ Walker did well because we do this every year.
And you because Cam Newton was there and Cam
no,
Newton
because no one knew no one knew what PJ Walker was or what he could do. There wasn't exactly a full scouting report on PJ Walker.
PJ Walker played in the XFL. Everyone knows who PJ Walker is. Yeah.
Falcons head coach Arthur Smith said that Cordarrelle Patterson will be a game time decision against the Patriots. Patterson has practiced all week and has a realistic chance of suiting up despite the short turnaround for the Falcons in week 11. Tom Pelissero probably previously reported that Patterson could be dealing with a multi-week injury. So the fact that Patterson even has a chance to play Thursday is a positive development. Patterson will be a boom bust running back two if available, with his level of involvement a major question mark. My boy, Wayne Gallman, will likely see a bigger role if Patterson is inactive. Mike Davis has a chance to be the biggest beneficiary, but the team may be losing confidence in the seventh-year journeyman.
Yeah.
Mike Davis, such a disappointment this year.
Yeah, he is. He really is.
The entire Falcons offense.
I was like, the entire Falcons team.
Yeah, that's true. That's fair.
You know what I mean?
No, that's fair. I'm with you. That team just needs to hit the old reset button.
On what, though? They're young.
Literally everything. Matt Ryan needs to go.
Quarterback. They do need, yep.
Matt Ryan needs to go. Trade Calvin Ridley. Get what you can for Calvin Ridley. The dude has some issues going on. He has issues, man. And I would, too, if I had to play for the Falcons. Get rid of Calvin Ridley. Get your draft picks. Hit reset.
What are you going to do with Kyle Pitts? You're just going to let Kyle Pitts waste away?
You can build that whole offense around Kyle Pitts. Yep.
Like Tony Gonzalez did in Kansas City.
Yep.
Wasted away.
Build an entire offense around Kyle Pitts because he's that damn good. And we're going to talk about him later. Your favorite running back, Latavius Murray, returned to the Ravens practice on Wednesday. The Ravens have moved on from Le'Veon Bell, who had 2.7 yards per rush on 31 attempts. So getting Murray back would be a boost for the Ravens' underwhelming backfield. Murray has missed the last three games with a sprained ankle. If healthy, he will likely take over as the Ravens starter, although Devonta Freeman can be expected to remain involved to some extent. Matt, does this do anything for you at all?
Matavius? Mm-hmm. I mean, now there's one less mouth to feed, I guess. But
not really. We got Murray.
I know. There's no Bell there. And Tyson Williams just died. I mean,
apparently. Which is so weird. I don't know why they just didn't put everything behind him. Just see what happens.
Yeah. Why don't you make him do that?
So Latavius Murray, but you know who would be really good in this offense right now, though? Mark freaking Ingram. That's who would be good right now. This team has not had a running back since Mark Ingram got hurt last year.
Stop it.
You stop it.
J.K. Dobbins? Gus Bus?
What'd you get out of him?
Are you serious?
What'd you get out of him?
Dude was a first-round startup pick. Man, he got hurt. You can't say they didn't have a running back. They had a running back. He got hurt. Then they had a backup running back who was solid, who also got hurt. Then they had another running back who got hurt.
I know. Wouldn't it be nice if you had Mark Ingram right now?
Oh, yeah. Great guy to have there.
He's having a little career resurgence, isn't he?
Oh, my gosh. No. No. He had a week in New Orleans where Kamara was out, and they made him their all-time rushing leader. Woohoo.
Exactly. Imagine how good he would have did right now.
You know who's number two on that list? Taysom Hill.
Tells you a lot about that franchise, doesn't it?
Yeah. Aaron Brooks.
Speaking of tremendous running backs, Ronald Jones played one snap in the Bucs' Week 10 loss to Washington. Jones is officially running back insurance for Leonard Fournette drafters. Leonard Fournette. Having seen more than five touches just three times in 2021. I'm going to read that again.
Yeah.
Ronald Jones.
Yeah.
More than five touches in just three games this season. That's terrible.
It is. It absolutely is. I'm a big Rojo guy. I like Rojo. Holy cow, Bruce Arians. Why didn't you just trade him?
I think it's time to get off of the whole Rojo might be decent bandwagon.
Rojo's a free agent. You know who could really use Rojo right now? The Ravens.
It does seem like he's being wasted away.
I would agree. But this happened last year. Fournette was at this spot last year. Mm-hmm. Was John Ronald Jones was the man in the backfield, and then Jones got hot in the playoffs and took over. Yeah. Like, I guess I don't write that off as a possibility here for Tampa.
Okay. Browns coach Kevin Stefanski, probably. So Kareem Hunt will not play in Week 11, but is getting close. Hunt will miss his fifth game with the calf injury that he suffered in Week 6. Stefanski's comment leaves plenty of room for interpretation, but it wouldn't be surprising to see Hunt back on the field in early December. He has yet to be designated to return from injured reserve, so the Browns can slow play his recovery for now.
They don't need to bring him back. They got Johnson.
D'Ernest Johnson will play a smaller version of his role with Nick Chubb resuming his normal duties once activated from the reserve COVID-19 list. If Chubb and Demetric Felton aren't activated from the COVID list, Johnson would be in line for another running back one outing.
You know, anything he's a free agent at the end of the year, right?
What's that?
You know he's a free agent at the end of the year, D'Ernest Johnson. Dude's going to get paid.
No. You think so?
Which free agent running back would you rather have, Ronald Jones or D'Ernest Johnson?
Probably Johnson.
Okay.
I find it a little surprising to hear you say about any running back is going to get paid. Like in today's
NFL. Paid more than he's making now.
Well, I mean, that's not – you could work at Starbucks and probably do it, you know.
As you take a sip of your pumpkin spice latte.
Yeah, that's what that is. The Athletic's Dan Duggan.
Probably.
Said barring a dramatic second half turnaround, the Giants will likely be in the market for a new general manager.
This is dumb.
You think so?
The Giants need to keep all of their terrible people for as long as they can. Like Clapper and Gettleman. And Danny Dimes should get like a lifetime contract. They're all so good. They should never replace any of them, said the Cowboys fan.
Well, per Duggan, Jones in 2021, Daniel Jones, excuse me, is 25th in completion percentage, 25th in passing yards per game, 25th in touchdown passes, 26th in yards per attempt, 24th in passer rating, 25th in QB rating, 25th in DVOA, and 23rd in EPA. By nearly every measure, he has been among the league's worst quarterback.
Trash.
Yeah. I think this was it for Mr. Danny Dimes. Like he's forever a QB2. A real life QB2.
I was like, on his own team or fantasy?
Yeah, like you need to cut ties, let him go, and just that dude's a clipboard holder. Right?
That's not
a hot take.
It's not a hot take, but he'll get another shot to be a starter.
I don't think he will, Matt. Like, if you're surrounded by this much talent, like that Danny Dimes has been surrounded by, that's crazy.
You're the one who just argued that Barkley was overrated.
Well, in my opinion, but that's a hot take.
I guarantee quarterbacks, you anybody, first round quarterbacks always get second chances. Always.
Couldn't make it happen.
Teddy Bridgewater's on like what, his fourth team? Sam Darnold's on a second.
You know, yeah, but Teddy Bridgewater can rush though. You know what I mean? I guess
so can Danny Dimes.
In that sense. Yeah.
Danny Dimes can run too. Yeah, he can't run across the goal line, but I don't know. We're not going to probably talk about this guy, but Mitch Trubisky's going to get another shot. Former first-round quarterback. Like, these guys, former first-round guys get picks or get other opportunities. Dwayne Haskins is probably going to get a shot to start or a opportunity to compete for the starting job in Pittsburgh if he stays there long-term. It just happens. It's just how it is.
Yeah, I guess when you're so desperate at a position, somebody's bound to do it. I mean, just
take a shot.
Look at the Lions. They've been starting Jared Goff.
It's true. It's another one.
Jared Goff missed Lions practice on Wednesday. If Goff is unable to play in Week 11, the Lions will turn to Tim Boyle.
You should have just stopped and said the Lions have a better shot at winning.
Are you sure?
Without Goff? Do you forget what Tim Boyle did last year?
As bad as Goff has been this season, and he's been very bad, Boyle would somehow likely be worse.
Nope.
TJ Hockenson and DeAndre Swift's fantasy manager should keep an eye on Goff's practice reports this week. Everyone else should keep their eyes off the Lions.
Why?
If at all possible.
TJ Hockenson can't get any worse. He put up a big fat zero last week.
I think it gets much worse. Yeah.
No.
Yes.
No. If it can't get worse.
If Jared Goff hasn't lost his job playing the way that he's played all season, because that tells you everything you need to know about the backup quarterback.
Billions of dollars. No. Tim Boyle, go pick him up. I'm telling you.
I was half waiting for you to say, Tim Boyle, that's a fantasy winner right there. That's a season winner.
No. But he'll be better than Goff.
Remember when we were really high on like
– I will bet you Tim Boyle outscores Jared Goff's average fantasy points for the season this week if he plays.
That's scary. Just a scary thought.
You okay?
Yeah, we got construction going on over here.
Oh, I thought it was like somebody trying to break into your office.
So, yeah, it is what it is. Chiefs coach Andy Reid has told Josh Gordon to be patient because it's going to happen. Obviously, Reid's words leave some room for interpretation. But the coach also said it's a matter of time before Josh Gordon is a productive part of the Chiefs offense. Matt, are we past the point of hoping for something to happen here for Josh Gordon as a Chief?
Well, we've been past the point of waiting for something for Josh Gordon to happen since he was a Brown. I love Josh Gordon when he was a Brown, but he's not going to do anything. Sorry.
Yeah, I think we need to be completely out on Josh Gordon. If you can get, let's say you can get a third round pick for Josh Gordon, are you selling for that?
Oh, smash accept.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Well, Matt, what do you say we get to the hot takes and we close the show out?
Do it.
Let's do it.
Can't wait to be right.
Yeah, you got them pulled up. Since I got construction going on here, why don't you go ahead and set these up?
So your first one, Kyle Pitts breaks the rookie record for receiving yards by a tight end, which is a little over 1,000 yards. Mike Ditka held it right now. Currently, Kyle Pitts has 606 yards. So it sounds like it's on pace. James Conner finishes the season as a top 20 running back. Good job. He's running back 11 right now. Sammy Watkins sucks. I mean, no, you said he was going to be good. 1,000 yards receiving this year. He's got 299 and probably shouldn't have another one this year. DK Metcalf, 20 receiving touchdowns this season. 20 would double his TD output from last season. The NFL record is 23 by Randy Moss. He's got 8. Cooper Kupp, career year in receptions, 95 plus. He's 10 away from that right now. And you said he would finish the year as a wide receiver one. He is the wide receiver one right now. Mine, let's see. Zeke finishes as the running back one. He's currently RB7. I'll take that as a win-ish. We'll see how it plays out. Jonnu Smith sucks, but I said he would be a top five tight end, and he was currently the tight end 11. He's currently tight end 29, and he's just bad. I'm out on that one. Matthew Stafford, top 10 quarterback, currently QB6, just had his worst game, and he's still QB6. He's got a bye this week, and then he'll come back ready to go. Raheem Mostert outscores Trey Sermon. This actually might still be true because Trey Sermon hasn't done anything either. So are they both at zero? Have you checked? So, I mean, that could be – that. I'm really interested to see where that one goes. If this one doesn't hit, this could be probably the craziest one that doesn't hit. I said Derrick Henry finishes outside the top 12 running backs. He hasn't played in 2 weeks because he's hurt. He's currently still the RB2. I have hope that this one's going to hit, but I would not be shocked if it didn't either.
We had our water. I couldn't believe it. Like I had to triple check that.
I believe it. Yeah, he was hot. I mean, he was running away with the RB1.
He was just that far ahead, and he still has like I think a 20-point lead on the running back three. So there's a chance he holds that for another week.
Yeah, he could. Yeah, like I said, I wouldn't be shocked if he finished as a still top 12 running back and didn't play half the season. We got our water bets. You said Herndon was going to be better than Conklin. Nope. This one hurts. Maybe not, though, for me. I said that Darren Waller would outscore the Raiders wide receiver one and two combined. Darren Waller, oh, man, no, not even close. Hunter Renfro is outscoring Darren Waller. Together, they have two. Together, Renfro and Edwards have 201.8 points, and Waller has 105.4, doubling his output. Zeke finishes.
Just real quick, Matt, I do want to point out, though, you know, you're not exactly – I mean, you're wrong as far as, like, what that bet was. But I think it should be noticed, Darren Waller being the second highest scorer on the Raiders team is saying a lot.
Oh, yeah.
Like, I mean, he's just that much of that offense. And, I mean, that's not news, but – by the end of the season, there's a good chance he's the lead scorer.
I'd be curious to see what his numbers were early in the season because I think he's just had a hot couple of weeks lately.
Right, right. I think by the end of the season, that number is going to be a lot closer, but we'll see.
I said Zeke finishes as a running back one. Justin said he would not. He's running back seven. That could still go either way. I still think he finishes as a running back one. Dallas is definitely committed to the run. We did top rookie finishers. You said the top rookie quarterback would be Mac Jones. I said Justin Fields. Mac Jones is currently QB 20 overall. Justin Fields is getting hot. That's going to be a fun one to see how that plays out. Top running back, you said Javonte Williams and let your Broncos homerism play out. I said Najee Harris. Harris is running away with it. He's currently the running back four, not the rookie running back, like the overall rookie or overall running back four. We're both going to be wrong on this one. You said Devonta Smith was the top rookie wide receiver. I said Elijah Moore. Jamar Chase is running away with it. And we both agreed Kyle Pitts is the obvious tight end one of the rookie class.
There you have it. And there you have it. I still can't – I can't believe we missed on Jamar Chase. I loved him so much coming out, too. It was all that preseason
– the drop season that we heard about.
Yeah, just scared us away. Scared us away. Well, Matt, I think that does it.
What are you looking forward to? We're in like the last third of the season. For fantasy. How many leagues are you competitive in? Playoff bound.
Well, I'm in the lowest number of leagues that I've been in a long time.
So that's why you talk about percentages here.
Yeah. Let's see. So I'm in one redraft and then three dynasty leagues or four dynasty leagues. Well, three dynasty leagues and then one is a four team or a four sport league. So yeah. I'm competitive in the
four. How's sport. That? Yeah.
That's so fun.
I bet.
I would do five more of those if I had enough people.
That would be so hard to track.
It's I can't believe he, well, it's a team effort though, too. Like you have to go through one spreadsheet and then there's like two or three people because it's a 24 teams, I think 20 teams, something like that.
That's nuts.
Yeah. But they use Fantrax, which shout out to Fantrax is perfect for this type of league.
They're not even paying us to say that.
No, but shout out. Cause it's beautiful. Absolutely. And then let's see. What was I going to say? Yeah, it's just so fun though, because you can tell what sports everybody kind of knows and which they don't. Like me and hockey, nah, not my thing.
Sidney Crosby, that's the guy you want.
Yeah. So I'm like, give me Gretzky. No, I'm at the very bottom of that, of those standings, and put all my eggs in the basketball, football and bucket. And then I just try to be competitive in baseball. But it's so fun.
Ugh. Hey, do you want to talk Thanksgiving slate coming up?
Is that this coming week?
That's next week. Next week. Do you want to know like the highlight game of the early game? Can you imagine how great?
Give me all of them. I'm not even remotely aware.
The Bears,
sure the Cowboys play.
The Bears play the Lions, the early game.
I'm glad that's the early one because no one's going to watch that.
No, I know. It's not going to be good. But there's some fantasy implications there. No? Justin Fields plays that terrible Lions defense?
I guess.
The Raiders and the Cowboys play. Oof. They're the afternoon game.
I guess, is that in Dallas or in?
It's always in Dallas. Detroit and Dallas always host on Thanksgiving.
Do they?
And the night game, Bills at Saints.
That's a good one. I like that one a lot. No, it's
not. Stop it. Really?
I like that one a lot. In New Orleans?
The Bills are going to roll.
In New Orleans?
Yeah, Bills are going to roll. I think your best game of the day is Raiders-Cowboys.
I bet you the Raiders are like 9-point dogs.
Maybe it's a week and a day out. We're a way out.
Who's the best upset for that one?
I have no clue. The biggest upset would be the Lions beating the Bears. No.
Well, I mean, like, if you had to pick one upset, because it's pretty obvious.
How if those I had Lions to pick one play. Upset, I would pick the Lions upsetting the Bears.
Easily the Saints.
You think the Saints could upset the Bills?
If I had to pick one underdog, it'd be the Saints. In New Orleans, they got a shot. The Bills, I don't know if they're true. They're actually the favorite to win the Super Bowl, according to Vegas. Did you know that?
That doesn't shock me.
No. I think DraftKings has them at plus 600 to win the Super Bowl. Buffalo.
Wow.
I laid money on Dallas last night, actually.
Woohoo!
Thanks. Yeah, so now it's not going to happen, and that made me happy.
Your early spreads. Oh, Detroit is a dog by 3.5. Dallas is a 7-point favorite, and the Bills are only a 4.5-point favorite.
Told you. So on a neutral field, they would have been 7.5.
Yeah.
I like the Raiders there, spread wise.
Yeah. 7. I don't know. Dallas just rolled Atlanta. Rolled them. Roll time.
Well, that was good, Matt. That was great.
See how I ended the show? I didn't like end it on a sad, sober note. Like,
no, that's no. I'm writing it down in my diary right now.
Thank you.
When I right before I cry myself to sleep, I'll read it tonight.
Yeah, that's just end it. Whatever's going on, it could be bad. Just go roll tide, and half the crowd's like, "Yeah, okay."
Yeah, okay. All right, bud. Well, I think that does it for the show, and we'll catch y'all next week. And before we let anybody forget, we are brought to you by DiceTradeCalculator.com.
Stop guessing. Start calculating.
And we are out.
We out.
Thanks for hanging out with us on another episode of the Dynasty Dads Podcast. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes and follow us on Twitter at Dynasty Dads. Visit us at our website, dynastydads.com, for articles, news, and notes, Dynasty Dads gear, and more.